14:1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Tihathiroth, between Migdol and the sea. Everybody say, Migdol and the sea. All right, that's where the Lord told them to go, right? He told Moses, tell them, go camp there between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. Drop down to verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Drop down to verse 13. Moses said to the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Somebody say, my enemy drowns today. Some of you are fighting some enemies and you feel trapped. You feel like, God, you've brought me all the way out here to this place, and I'm looking around and I don't see an escape route. I don't know where you're headed with this thing, but all I know is I've been listening to your man Moses, the man of God in my life, and it seems like he don't know what he's talking about. Sometimes your circumstances don't seem to line up with the man of God in your life. Don't worry. God's got a plan. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Say, I'm going forward. I'm going forward. I just want to speak to you for a little bit. When your roadblock becomes your miracle. When your roadblock becomes your miracle. I'm picturing the scene here. The people, several million, by what we're led to believe, Hebrew children that have now followed this man Moses out of Egyptian bondage that they have been in for a long, long time. They're out in this place between, the Bible says, Migdol and the sea. And then if that wasn't bad enough, all of a sudden they turn around and they see the armies of the Egyptians coming after them. God tells them, hey, you're crying out to me, but I want you to tell my people this, go forward. Now, has God ever told you to do something and you're like, you got to be kidding me, right? I mean, I can remember when the Lord spoke to our family and began to tell us and press upon us that we were to come to this city and pastor this church. And we were in a very comfortable place at the time. We were in a place where we shared the duties of pastoring with my brother-in-law, and the church was growing and it was doing wonderfully well, and things were great there, and finances were good, and we were still able to work, and everything was just going right and good and well. But something inside of our spirits was stirring, and God began to prepare us. And all of a sudden the phone call came, and we said no, and God began to work on our hearts, and I began to argue with God, probably a lot like the people here did. You say go forward, but I don't understand where it is that you're wanting us to go. It doesn't seem like any of this makes sense. And I know I'm not the only one here that's been in a circumstance like that. Your circumstance may be different than my circumstance. Your place of entrapment, so to speak, may seem different than my place that, well, of entrapment. But all of us will wind up in a place of decision one of these days. And God looks at Moses and he says, tell him to move forward. And they're saying, go forward? Where? Where? There's no place to go. You've brought us out here to a roadblock. In case you haven't noticed, Moses, you might want to fill God in that there's no place to go. We've got a sea on one side. We've got Migdol on the other side. And then we have Egyptian armies barreling, breathing down our necks, coming after us. There's no place to go. How can you tell us to move forward? Oftentimes we look at passing in the Red Sea. I looked it up on my chart, my Bible study chart that I teach in my home, Bible study. The chart shows the people began to walk down and the waters are parted and they walk through. It looks like the waters are probably about 15, 20 foot deep and looks like there's, 30 or 40 people getting ready to march off into it. And all of it is nice and smooth down there where they have gone through. But I began to do a little study on the Red Sea. I don't know if you quite understand, if we comprehend sometimes over the passing of time and we've cleaned it all up, just exactly what was taking place here. You see, the Bible says that the Lord caused a strong wind to begin to blow, and it blew all night long until it blew the waters back away to where they came as walls, and all of these millions of people were able to walk through on dry land. Well, that's great and nice, but you've got to understand something here. What they were actually walking through was down into a sea that was a mile and a quarter deep. It wasn't like they were just looking up at the top of the water of the wall, 15 or 20 foot above their heads. They were looking at a mile and a quarter worth of water that was being held back by a strong wind. And the Bible says that it would have taken a wind of at least, not the Bible says it, but scientists say it would have taken a strong wind of a constant state of at least 74 miles an hour to hold those waters back. I happen to believe that it probably took much more than that. Now, God could have just kept them back just by his word, but the Bible tells us that there was a strong wind. So now you've got a little different scenario in your mind playing of what it was taking for these several millions of people to walk through. They're not just walking through quietly. They're not just walking through a place of serenity, but as they're walking through the Red Sea, they're looking up and there is a mile high wall of water on either side of them and the winds are blowing. It's like they're walking through a hurricane as they're getting through this. Sometimes you need to understand that your miracle may not be as pretty as what you thought it was going to be. It may take some things blowing you around. You may look around and see your place in yourself in a place that's scary, a place that looks like it could be your death, but God says, I will see you through to the other side. When God tells you to move forward, don't you ever sit there and argue with him and say, God, we've got no place to go. If he tells you to take a step out on faith, God will always part the waters so that your roadblock can turn into your next miracle in your life. He knows what you need. He knows what you can do. And he also knows what you can't do. So what you can't do, understand, God will do. You're talking about a people that have been beaten down for 400 years. 10 generations of slavery. They don't know what freedom means. None of them have ever experienced the liberty of life. They don't know what it is to make their own decisions. Hey, let's go for a picnic today. Grab the kids and let's put a chicken dinner together. Now, how we're going to go? No, they all they can do is do what the taskmaster tells them that they can do. But it's what they become accustomed to. It's amazing to me what sins people can become accustomed to. It's amazing to me that people that are in real bondage, how they can look at it and they can almost hang on to it. You could probably take the chains off of them and they would still stay right where they're at because it's what they have become accustomed to. All of a sudden, a man named Moses comes into the picture and he begins to tell the Israelites, God's going to set you free. Freedom, what's freedom? He paints a pretty picture. Well, God's not just going to take us out of here, but he's got some place for us to go. God will never take you out of some place that you're in unless he has already got a plan for you someplace better. You better hear the sound of the voice of the Lord when he speaks. Thank God for a man who spoke into my life. So he began to tell them about a conversation that he had with a burning bush. It's red flag number one right there. Well, it was the voice of the Lord. Yeah, sure it was. You sure you didn't pick up the wrong kind of mushroom when you're out mushroom hunting, Moses? Maybe Moses was the first one that they thought discovered wacky tobacco, you know? I don't know what they were thinking. But all I know is if a guy came to me and he used to live in the house of my enemies, my captors, and he was gone, and then all of a sudden he comes back talking to me about, hey, follow me. I was having a conversation with a burning bush the other day, and the bush wasn't consumed, and I believe that it was the voice of the Lord, that I'd have to step back for a minute and check things out. He began to tell them the story. Something about him, they began to understand that maybe it was the voice of the Lord. And I'm sure eventually he won them over, because they did eventually decide to go. And there had to be a buzz with plans for the future. And I'm sure that they were still talking about how God had set them free. And then the word comes and God speaks to Moses and tells him that he's going to harden the heart of Pharaoh. And I'm thinking, I've always tried to, understand this. God, why did you do that? Why did you take this man and let him, you had him right where you wanted him. He said, okay, go ahead and go. Go ahead and go. And then the Bible says, it doesn't say that Pharaoh just hardened his heart. The Bible says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. In other words, God caused him to change his mind. Why? Why did he do that? Why didn't you just let him go when he said you're free to go the first time? Let me tell you something. God always has a plan in mind. God always has something going on in the back of his mind. He knows things from the beginning to the ending. He knows everything that's going to happen in your life. Now, he lets you choose your path, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't already know what choices you're going to make. Now, he wants you to make the right choices. He died so that you could make the right choices. But he knows that there's an enemy out there that's going to be on your tail until the day that you die. Just because Pharaoh let them go doesn't mean that across that sea there wasn't going to be somebody that they always had to look over their shoulder and see if they were coming around the corner. You ever lived that way? Has anybody ever had to live in fear? Some of you are military and maybe you're on the battlefields. You probably never slept with both eyes closed. Because you understood that there was an enemy. What do you do when you're on guard? The worst thing that you can do is fall asleep, right? If you're on guard duty, it's not just your life at stake, but it's the life of everybody that's depending upon you to recognize when something is wrong. Why, God? Why would you allow that to happen? God says, move forward. The Bible says they found themselves between Migdol and the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's armies are closing in. They began to cry out to the God. What now? Cry out to Moses, you brought us out here to die. We'd have been better off if we'd have just ignored what you had to say and not bought into your plan. Now you've brought us all out here and they're going to wipe us out. So they set up camp between Migdol and the Red Sea. Let me say this. Sometimes God isn't just satisfied to set you free. Sometimes he's looking to completely destroy what has you bound. It's not just good enough to set you free if you got to look over your shoulder the rest of your life at that enemy. Sometimes God say, I love you enough that even though I brought you out to a trap and I haven't filled you on a little secret, because we have a way of blowing secrets. We have a way of not being able to keep our mouths shut as human beings sometimes. And God just said, you know what? This is going to be between me. And I don't even know if he let Moses know what was going to happen. But he says, you know what? I've got a plan already established. And I know how Pharaoh is. And I know what he's done to my people for the last 400 years. How about we just do this? How about we just, at the end of this day, we just make sure that you never have anything to worry about again for the rest of your life from these people? The Israelites are between Migdol and the Red Sea. If you do a study on the word Migdol, it means tower. It was a place where there was a watchtower. Migdol was a tower. Place where there was a tower. The Israelites find themselves stuck between the tower and the sea with the enemy on their heels. What a place to be, right? Trapped between an old tower, a massive sea, and an enemy closing in on your heels. Not a place that any of us would choose to be, but what they didn't realize was that God had taken them to a roadblock in order to take them to a miracle. He had strategically placed them at that particular location. This was no accident that they were between the tower and the sea. You see, towers have always been a place of lookout. We understand what towers are. You've got a sentry stationed up in the top of that tower, maybe several sentries, and they're looking around in all different directions to make sure that the enemy doesn't sneak up on their people. But there's another use that the towers were for. What you might not know is a tower had more uses than just being a good place to watch out for the enemy. Now listen to this, because this is the good stuff right here. In the biblical days, towers were not just used as lookout points, but they were also used as armories. And inside of those towers, armies would stockpile weapons so that if the enemy would come, that they would have the weapons that they needed to defend themselves and defeat the opposition. You see, everything that they needed for defense, they could find inside of the tower. If the lookout sentry was up on top and he said, "Hey, there's an enemy that just come over the ridge. They're coming to do us harm." They didn't all have to run back home and grab their weaponries from home. They didn't have to bring from another encampment. They just ran to the tower, and everything they needed to defend themselves and have victory, they found inside of the tower. It's no wonder that the word of the Lord says that Jesus Christ is our strong and our mighty tower. The righteous can run into it and find safety therein. Amen. Everything that you need to do battle, everything that you need to be victorious, you can find in the God that we serve, because He is our strong and our mighty tower that the righteous can run into. Amen. And be saved. When you took the name, you were given the key to the tower. There's power in the tower.
Yes.
Write that down, somebody. Amen. When you say the name of Jesus, you're not just saying any old name. When you call upon the blood of Jesus Christ to come to your rescue, you're not just talking about any old blood. You're not just talking about the red cells that go through your body, but you're talking about a blood that was a spotless lamb's blood. You're talking about a blood that can wash all sins away. You're talking about a blood that can move mountains. You're talking about a name that's above every other name. When you come to the tower, you'll find peace and safety and a refuge for your soul. You can lay your hands on the sick and they can recover. Yes, they still can. I don't care what some denominations say, that that's a thing for the past. They've come too late for me. Amen. I talked to a woman just the other day that was on life support. We went up and we prayed for her. She called me. I saw a phone call from her phone. I thought they're calling to tell me that she's passed away. That's how bad it looked. But no, when I said hello, it wasn't her husband's voice on the other line with some bad news that she didn't make it. It was her saying, "Brother Rice, you prayed and things began to happen. I can't believe it. God has performed a miracle." Let me tell you something. Your roadblock can become your miracle if you'll just push forward. Somebody hear me this morning. You feel trapped. You feel like you're in a place where there's no rescue. God has got you in a place between Migdol and the Red Sea and the armies on your neck. But God has brought you to a place where your roadblock can become your miracle. I can't force you to believe that. You can throw it out the window if you want to later. You can say, "Brother Rice is full of baloney, hogwash," whatever you want to say. But you'll walk away from a miracle if you do. You can doubt it. You can come complain to Moses. "You brought us out here to die." Moses says, "God, you know, these people, they just don't get it." The reason they don't get it is they're not hearing from the Lord like Moses was hearing from the Lord. Some of them needed to fall upon their knees and quit depending upon another man. quite as much as what they were. Let me tell you something. You've got to have a relationship between you and God. I'm just a shepherd that kind of leads the way, but I am not God. Amen. You need God in your life. You need a relationship with God. You need to be able to hear the sound of God's voice for yourself. That doesn't cut your pastor out of it. God's pastor is your voice for him. But God wants to speak to you sometimes on your own. Pharaoh says they're entangled in the land. The wilderness has them shut in. He said, we've got them trapped. We've got them right where we want them. If it would not have been for Moses and God, he would have been correct. You see, Pharaoh took God out of the equation.
Come on.
He had never battled the God of the Israelites before. He got a little taste of it when the plagues came, right?
Right.
He should have known better. He should have been able to see, but some people are just thick-headed enough that they just, the rich man, he says, send a prophet back to warn my brothers. He said, if they won't hear the prophets that are now, they're not going to hear one that comes back from the dead. In other words, the Bible says there's some people that are just so thick-headed and so set in their ways that it doesn't matter how good you preach or how anointed it is, they're going to keep on doing the same old thing. They will just not hear the answer. Pharaoh said, we got them right where we want them. We got them between a rock and a hard place. But that rock and that hard place was a tower in the sea right where God wanted them to be. They were strategically positioned for a victory, and God was the only one who knew it. He puts that scripture in there, I think, to let us understand sometimes, my ways are higher than your ways. In other words, I'm not going to fill you in on everything I'm going to do for you. But just hold your peace and let me fight your battles. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord. I mean, all these different scriptures. Matter of fact, I've got a cool acronym that I came up with here. It's called STAND. Stay true and never doubt.
Yes.
When it looks like you're hemmed in, when it looks like you're trapped, when it looks like there's no way out, know this one thing. God has not forsaken you. You're on the verge of a miracle. A miracle is something you can't do on your own. They could follow the man of God. They could walk out of Egypt and everything they've known for the last 400 years. They did everything that they could do, but they could not part the Red Sea. They couldn't do it. God knew they couldn't do it. God didn't expect them to do it. And so he says, all I need to do for you to do is listen to me and walk when I say walk. And I'm telling you, go forward. And Moses steps out there on the edge. God says, raise your staff. He stood there and raised his staff. And all of a sudden, something began to change in there, in the very atmosphere. A wind began to pick up and blow. And they stood and watched as God performed the miraculous right in front of their very eyes. What they had seen as a roadblock, God was looking at as a chance to give his children a miracle. What they saw as a trap, what Pharaoh saw as a trap, actually it indeed was a trap. He just didn't understand who the trap was laid for. Those people would have died if they'd have never moved forward. Those people would have died if they'd have said, we're blocked in, we're hemmed in, I'm not going anywhere else. They'd either wound up back in slavery or they'd have died right there through a massive slaughter. Amen. What do you do when you reach a dead end? I'm telling you, Ephesians chapter 4 says, when you've done all to stand, just stand. Stay true. Never doubt. I'll tell somebody here this morning that even when it doesn't look like you can trust him, you've got to trust him. When it looks like there's no possible way for you to escape, just remember God is on your side. Sometimes we've just got to give it to him. Let him fight the battle for us. Would you stand with me today?